Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So
team is not going to win the Super Bowl in week number one.
Once again, the Patriots are world champions.
No, your team is not going to go undefeated. No, your team is not going to light the world on fire.
You like that? You like that?
At least not yet. Relax. Or as Aaron Rodgers tells us,
R-E-L-A-X.
Relax. We're going to be okay.
I got to know if you're sweet or love.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You guys remember last week when we were awarding the mid-season MVP? Just kidding, we weren't actually doing that. We do need to R-E-L-A-X when it comes to rewarding some type of a mid-season MVP. But we were talking about who the front runners are at the midway point of the NFL season. And I saw this post from our friend Howard Balzer, who covers the NFL. He's in Arizona, and he's hearing chatter about Kyler Murray as a possible MVP, so a dark horse there. Now, I had said that I felt like Jared Goff right now was the front runner, and then he goes out and he throws five interceptions. So don't. I guess everyone's allowed a blow up game. Certainly better if your team ends up winning. There was a lot of talk about a Josh Allen as MVP, Lamar Jackson, of course, Derrick Henry. Some other dark horses included Saquon Barkley, which I thought was out of the box, and then Penei Sewell. I think I got two or three nods for Penei Sewell, which would be amazing. Do you see how often he is out in front of the Lions running backs, or at least going alongside them to help create a lane up the sideline so they can keep going? The dude is a monster blocker, and he's so athletic. He loves to stick with the play even as it gets downfield. So those were some of the names that you threw at me, and I think that's terrific. I love it. Well, here's the post from Howard Balzer. Remember, we've played three seasons of 17 games, and this is our fourth season since the NFL expanded to 17 games. The winners of the MVPs since it expanded: Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. And Howard's point is that in each of these last three seasons, the MVP has come from a team with about 13 wins, with 13 or more wins. Again, Aaron Rodgers, whose Packers had 13 wins, Patrick Mahomes, whose Chiefs had 14 wins, and Lamar Jackson last season when the Ravens were the top seed in the AFC with 13 wins. So even as you think about MVP, now I'm not saying that's the cutoff if you don't have 13 wins, but he's just pointing out that value is also measured in winning percentage and number of wins. And so keep that in mind as we move into the second half of the season, what players might be eligible, not just based on their own individual performances, but their value to the team, of course. What happens if you remove that player from that team? And then, in addition, how many wins? Is that team a division winner? Are they in the playoffs, which it almost is a prerequisite? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio to find me online. And we're just getting that MVP poll up for you on this Monday, Veterans Day. So for sure, as much as football is entertainment and we enjoy it, we get kind of crazy as fans, what I most want to say on this Monday morning as we put the weekend in the rearview mirror, I know it's a holiday Monday for a lot of people. Thank you to our veterans. Thank you to our military families who sacrifice so much when they send their loved ones away and take that risk, right? Make that sacrifice if necessary, the ultimate sacrifice. But on this day, we honor the veterans that came home. We honor those who served and protected our country, put their lives on the line, but were able to come home to their families, even if sometimes they didn't come home in the same shape, physically or mentally, emotionally. The toll that, especially being in combat or serving, can take on people, I'm not sure we even know the depths of it. Only they recognize and understand the depths of it. They need more support. They need more help. They need to know that we've got their backs as Americans. And so it's a definite need in our country. You may or may not know this, and I'm not going to quote statistics at you, but there is a very high suicide rate among veterans who come home from serving, and that needs to stop. They need to know that they're taken care of and that there is hope and that that's not the only option for them. As you can imagine, the family members who love them, they're devastated. They've lost them twice, right? They've lost them when they go overseas and they have to be gone, or they deploy stateside and they have to be gone for long stretches, but then lose them even after they think they've gotten them home again. The numbers are astronomical, veterans who take their own lives. So I'm thinking of you veterans on this Veterans Day Monday in the United States, and I want to say thank you for the sacrifices. Thank you for your service. And also, please, there is hope. We need to help you. There is hope. Please don't take that step. And I've heard from veterans who've considered it, right? And who have chosen not to take their own lives because of the people that count on them. But we need to be offering help. We need to be offering hope. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran, you listen to the show, or if you're a family member of a veteran, you want to honor your vets, you can send us photos or send us names, again, at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I appreciate, was it Gordy calling from Detroit to ask about the Lions? Yeah, the Lions with a big victory on Sunday Night Football. We'll get back to that one again as we start our final hour, because it was unconventional to say the least. The Eagles and the Cowboys, wouldn't this normally be a game of the week candidate? In many cases, it would be a primetime game, a nationally televised game. It was neither of those in this week 10 of the NFL season, despite the fact that the Eagles were challenging the Commanders to begin the week atop the NFC East, and that the Cowboys are generally a major draw, except they're awful. Even getting Micah Parsons back on the field, even getting Trayvon Diggs back on the field, they're just awful. And we find out over the weekend, Dak is likely done for the year. Now, we're not sure about that. He's waiting for one more second opinion. But with the hamstring muscle pulling away from the bone, there's a chance that he's going to require season-ending surgery. So it hasn't been done yet, but that appears to be the dark cloud around their quarterback room. Cooper Rush, he was always going to get the start because Dak is on IR, but there was no magic like there was. Was it a couple years ago when he and the Cowboys went 4-1 as they were waiting for Dak Prescott to return from injury? Yeah, there was none of that same magic. In fact, Cooper gets replaced by Trey Lance briefly and then completely in the fourth quarter. I don't know what Mike McCarthy was doing. It's funny because I was watching this game on NFL Network
in the late afternoon window, they only had three games, so they're giving you extensive broadcasts. They would join these broadcasts in progress. So I was watching this game on NFL Network with commentary from Mark Ross, who comes from the scouting and eval department. And when Trey Lance was out there for two snaps and then Cooper Rush comes back on the field, what are you doing, Mike? That's what Mark Ross says on the broadcast on NFL Network, referring to Mike McCarthy. What are you doing, Mike? Oh, no. So, yeah, it's just it's a revolving door at QB, which means it's a mess. And as you could see, the Cowboys, they don't have it offensively. 0-for-2 in the red zone, 3-of-14 on third down, an interception, 4 lost fumbles, 5 turnovers in this one, and how about this? Not even 150 yards of offense. I mean, the Panthers can do better than that. Are you kidding me? But this is the hole the Cowboys have sunk into, and I'm sure you're not surprised. It happened at home. 0-for-4 now at home, and even CeeDee Lamb was complaining about some of the home field advantages, quote unquote. We'll get to that. Meanwhile, the Eagles don't care. They're not crying over the Cowboys, of course. Jalen Hurts has an early interception in the red zone, but he is able to recover.
It is 1st and 10. The ball at the 13. Hurts back. Hurts looks. Here comes the rush. He's rolling, firing, complete. Touchdown! Dallas got him! He got him. They go with a pistol formation, and Barkley is back in, standing directly behind Hurts. Now he moves to the left of Hurts. Hurts stamps his foot. Hurts keeps it, runs, cuts back, inside. Touchdown number 10! Hurts on the keeper.
4 total touchdowns for Jalen Hurts, 2 through the air, including to Dallas Goedert. Welcome back to the tight end, and 2 on the ground. And the Eagles were able to rush for 187 yards. And we know this has been an issue for the Cowboys, their run game, their run defense, I should say, all season long, partly because of injuries, but not completely because of injuries. Man, after a while, you're just worn out. If your offense can't extend drives and can't keep the defense off the field to get a blow, you're just exhausted. And that's kind of what happens later in this game. So yeah, the Eagles overwhelm the Cowboys on defense. AJ Brown goes over 100 yards. He's kind of the setup man in this game. And Philadelphia wins 34-6, taking over first place in the NFC East because the Commanders lost to the Steelers on Sunday. So now you've got Philadelphia at 7-2 and in the division 2-0, as are the Commanders, right? So they're going to play a lot more games against each other in the NFC East. I did like what we saw from Micah Parsons. It was great to see him back on the field. He was dealing with a high ankle sprain, but he looked like he had great energy and good explosiveness. 2 sacks, a forced fumble, and 2 hits. So he was good. And he's got the Edge podcast. I think he usually records on Mondays, so no doubt we'll hear from him early in the year. So let's start with Jerry, because Jerry refuses to give up on the season, even though the Cowboys are 3-6.
Well, listen, I don't even understand not having hope. Now, we've got, 8 more ball games? If you'll help me with my arithmetic here, since I can't do some other things right. So, bottom line is that we've got 8 ball games. That used to be 80% of a college season. That's a lot of football left. We've got a lot to work on that we can do better than that. But we were within striking distance as we came out
for the
third quarter. And that's very disappointing that we did all the things we did and end up with a game like that.
You know, we had some shots down the field. We didn't run it good enough, and we obviously didn't pass protect good enough. We didn't throw good enough. I didn't call plays good enough. But, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You can't win not taking care of the damn ball. I mean, that's you can't sugarcoat that anyway. 5 turnovers, it's unacceptable.
Yep, I would agree with that. Echo that sentiment. Although, if you're the Lions and you have 5 turnovers, well, then you're able to win. Just not the Cowboys. They don't have that kind of margin for error. As for the quarterback situation, Cooper Rush was named the starter, but then we saw Trey Lance. So what's the, which by the way, welcome back to Trey Lance. I think it's been 2 years, more than 2 years. Remember he started the season for the Niners a couple of seasons ago, got hurt in either week 1 or week 2. And then it was that was the end of him. We never saw him again. They traded him the following preseason. And so he gets on the field, which is terrific, at least has a chance to run around in his uniform in a game that matters. But what do they have in store for him?
I just believe in, you know, reps. I mean, there's that third down segment there. You know, not that he couldn't run the plays. I didn't want to put him in there, something that he, you know, hadn't had a lot of reps in. So I put Cooper back in for that play after that, you know, for third down. We had to fumble the turnover there. But, you know, it's something we'll obviously discuss tomorrow.
So in other words, he didn't want to throw him in a situation where he was going to look lost with the play call. So that's why he hustles Cooper Rush back out there. How about call a play that Trey Lance knows? That
been 2 years.
Right. Right. It has been 2 years. So he's had a lot of time to sit and watch, but reps are important. And I don't know if the Cowboys keep him. He's obviously got great athleticism, and there is some potential there. The injuries really derailed any type of his growth with the Niners, and so it's been a mess. We'll see. Although the Cowboys are a mess now, I'm not sure that's a better place for growth. It certainly feels like there are changes on the horizon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How about Jalen Hurts? As I say, an early interception in the end zone that a veteran quarterback really shouldn't be making that pass, but Sirianni likes the way that he responded.
Obviously didn't start the way we wanted it to start, but there's something to be said for guys that can rebound and play a really good game after things don't go right early on. You know, we'll want some of those plays back. He'll want some of those plays back, but great job handling adversity, putting his head down, continuing to work.
Momentum is an illusion in a sense, because it can end and begin at any moment. And so just treating every play as his own.
I do agree with him. Momentum is an illusion, although I say momentum is fleeting in the NFL, because you've got it and then you don't got it. It disappears. Just ask the Houston Texans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Do we have our Monday MVP poll up? Jalen Hurts with his 4 total touchdowns is part of that. You can check it out at Amy After Hours, and I'll also retweet it at A-Law Radio, and then we will get it up on our Facebook page as well on what is rapidly becoming an early, early morning, Veterans Day weekend, and so many people have the long holiday. Maybe you're out of your regular routine. You're catching our show for the first time or the first time in a long time. If that's the case, welcome. Please shoot us either a tweet or a post on Facebook. We've got Jalen Hurts as part of the equation, along with 2 other quarterbacks. So this kind of breaks my unwritten rule. I don't generally want to put all QBs in, but these 3 really dominated. We talked about Russell Wilson in our first hour. We'll get back to Steelers and Commanders. But how about the game for Kyler Murray and the first place Arizona Cardinals? That's coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Misses and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Who will be your Monday MVP on this November 11th? It's kind of crazy to think about 3 weeks, and we'll be past Thanksgiving. We'll be looking at December. Whoa, it goes so fast during football season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find our poll up at Amy After Hours, and I'll throw it up on Facebook as soon as I have the opportunity, probably later this hour. But one of our candidates is Jalen Hurts. 4 touchdown passes as the Eagles beat the Cowboys. And one element of that I wanted to mention, because the Eagles have won 5 in a row now, and they're on top of the NFC East, where the Cowboys have lost every game at home. Remember when they won 16 straight between regular season and playoffs, and now they can't buy a win at AT&T Stadium to save their lives? They're 0-4. Some of those games have been god-awful. So the blowout to the Saints, remember they got crushed as well by the... Shoot, that's going to drive me crazy.
Lions.
The Lions, thank you. And now getting beaten soundly by the Eagles. And CeeDee Lamb, he had an opportunity to make this a little closer, maybe to change the momentum with a ball that was coming his way in the end zone. And afterwards, he doesn't see the ball. There's the sun coming in from the rooftop that's kind of partly open. There's the sun in the end zone. He appears to lose the ball and then goes to the sidelines afterwards and is talking about how the sun impeded him and his vision. And still, after the game, was wanting something to be done about the sun.
Couldn't see the ball. Couldn't see the ball at all.
The sun?
The sun. But
in favor of curtains?
Yes, 1,000%.
He says he's in favor of curtains at the top of AT&T Stadium.
It's like imagine like a back wall was just glass. So I guess you could theoretically use curtains.
You'd have to lay them down though, at the very top.
Yeah, they could figure it out. They're billionaires.
That's true. This is kind of what people have been saying to me about the completely annoying, intrusive bright light that my neighbor has installed on the side of his garage that lights up the back of our house. And now with daylight savings time being over, the light comes on before 5 o'clock in the afternoon and it stays on until nearly 8 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, there are all kinds of windows in the back of our house that have no curtains, of course, because we've got one utility room. We're building a new laundry room. Our kitchen doesn't have curtains. And so it's, yeah, I can understand how that light can be extremely intrusive and curtains would be the thing. But I refuse. I refuse to buy curtains and new blinds for every window in the back of my house when you're the one who's breaking town ordinance. So just wait. We sick the town on you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just wanted to get back to that because, yeah, the Cowboys, I'm not saying it's an excuse from CeeDee Lamb. He really couldn't see the ball. It's clear. It's almost like an outfielder who never sees the fly ball coming at him because of shadows or sun. And these guys are not wearing, they're wearing helmets, of course, with face masks, but they're not wearing sunglasses unless they've got some of those darkened face masks. But the Cowboys, it's even worse at home. It's the complete opposite, and it's really hard to explain, actually. Okay, let's talk about a different team and a different candidate for Monday MVP along with Jalen Hurts. How about what we've seen from Kyler Murray over the last few weeks? He is clearly back in a rhythm following the ACL.
Snap to Murray, drop straight back, a fade, right corner of the end zone, Harrison. Oh, what a catch with one hand for a touchdown. Marvin Harrison Jr. hauls it in with his right arm. Just a gorgeous drop in the bucket by Murray. They go with two receivers, one right, one left. Play clock at one, snap to Murray. And he's going to keep it, running right to the outside 10. Stays in bounds at the 5 and into the end zone for his second touchdown. Then he takes the football and hoists it into the casita.
Dave Pasch with the calls on the Cardinals radio network. Yeah, more than enough against the visiting New York Jets. This was embarrassing for the Jets, and you're not going to believe what I have to tell you in a second as I'm wrapping up. But first, we'll talk about the Cardinals because they've won 4 games in a row. Kyler near perfect in this one, 22 of 24 for 266 yards. And a perfect touchdown throw to Marvin Harrison where he drops it in the bucket in the back of the end zone. Also has a couple of rushing TDs in there, and his passer rating is near 127. So an amazing game for him. And not only does he deserve to be a candidate for Monday MVP, but yeah, the Cardinals are in some kind of groove. Their defense is also extremely stingy. Jonathan Gannon was talking about the fact that they've not given up a touchdown at home for a third consecutive game.
It's hard to communicate checks and things like that. And, you know, defensive staff does a good job of different looks. And, you know, our guys are rushing well and they're covering pretty good. So it's coordinated well. And they're married up well right now. But we got a lot to work on.
So New York goes 0-for-3 in the red zone, whereas the Cardinals are 4-for-5. And they only the Cardinals defense doesn't even give up 4 yards per play to the Jets. So they were constantly dealing with long yardage situations, just barely 200 yards total for Aaron Rodgers. And so I love what we're seeing from the Cardinals. I love what we're seeing from Kyler. There was this actually, I don't want to say it was a funny moment. It was kind of a gut check moment with the Cardinals where he gets flattened by, is it Quinnen Williams that took him out? Who was it?
Quincy, his brother.
Oh, sorry. Quincy Williams who took him out. And it's a blindside hit. He never saw it coming. One second he's standing there with the football and the other second, boom, so hard that his helmet comes flying off. And not only did the announcers on TV gasp, but I did in my living room. I'm sure many of you did the same as you saw this. And so, yeah, Kyler was asked about it after the game.
I was kind of confused. I mean, at that point, you take a hit like that. I was standing up one moment, and then I was on the ground the next moment.
Oh.
Happened pretty fast. But, I mean, the next play, I was just ready to go. Yeah, I mean, I just playing football, like, that's, yeah. I mean, I don't get hit too often, so, like, it was kind of an adrenaline rush that, like, it was a physical, violent game. It's part of the game. I appreciate it.
He really did pop right back up. But as you can imagine, this is their franchise QB. He's playing some of the best football of his career. They're finally, with he and Jonathan Gannon as the head coach, feeling that forward momentum. And then he gets flattened. He got pancaked. And Quincy Williams is so much bigger than he is, right? He's a relatively slight guy as it is. And he just got flattened. And then, boom, pops right back up like a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Okay, don't tell anyone I called him a weeble. I was just using the analogy of how he popped right back up. Arizona with touchdowns on its first three possessions, points on its first five possessions, which took them into the second half, more than adequate against the woeful New York Jets. And Jeff Ulbrich just admits they were never going to win this game.
They were not prepared to play. We didn't execute even close to our standard, and that falls on my shoulders 100%. I didn't do a good enough job getting these guys ready. I thought the physicality and the effort was fine. That was not the issue. It was execution, and that was all three phases. So until we get that right, this thing will not turn.
Listen, it's been, you know, a lot of emotions here for sure. I thought, you know, after a big win Thursday night, nice long week, we were going to come out with a lot of energy and win the game. And we just, you know, we didn't come out with great energy on either side of the ball. And offensively, you know, you're not going to beat anybody scoring 6 points.
Didn't he just tell us a couple weeks ago they had to embrace the darkness? And then they go out there and they beat the Texans. And I think even without a great performance, they felt like they could maybe build on that. But right back into the darkness they go. Here's the AFC East for you. And we'll talk Bills following this break because we got to get to them. What a weird weekend for a lot of the front runners in the NFL. The Bills certainly did not play their best on offense. Josh Allen had, I wouldn't say a Jared Goff blow-up game, but he had some moments he'd like back. But the Bills are so far out in front of the rest of the AFC East that they might clinch in week 11. I keep waiting for someone to tell me their magic number is one. They are 8-2. We'll get back to that. The Jets, the Patriots are 3-7, and the Dolphins are 2-6. Do you remember preseason when people were chewing over the idea that this could be the toughest division in football? Probably not the Patriots because they were rebuilding, but the Dolphins, even with Tua back, now I know it's their bye week, but even with Tua back, they are, oh, I take it back. It's not their bye week. That's a dumb, I was going to say they already had their bye. Miami is playing on Monday night, so they could get to three wins as well. And then you'd have three teams in that division sitting at three wins with the Bills 8-2. But here's the cool thing. Just take the Bills in a vacuum and don't worry about the rest of the division. The Bills are sporting their best record through week 10. Again, 8-2 through week 10. Best they've looked and best record they've had since the last time they went to the Super Bowl in the early 90s. So they're the last time they had this type of a record through 10 games, it was 1993, and it was the last of those four consecutive Super Bowls in which they, of course, lost all four of them. But this team was supposed to be maybe not among the upper echelon in the AFC this year because of the fact that they lost so many veterans. They had to. They had to make cuts. A lot of them were financial moves. They had to retool that young defense. Oh, DeMar Hamlin, by the way, recovered a fumble on Sunday, so that was terrific. So we'll get to the Bills. Who were taking on the Colts, and somehow Joe Flacco's still starting. I don't get that move, but we'll talk about them. Also, the Patriots do pick up a win on the road in Chicago, which says as much about them as it does about the Bears right now. We'll get to those two teams in the AFC East with, as I say, the Dolphins to follow on Sunday. Also, if we can jam it in, we'll talk about the game in Munich. Really only need to talk about the last probably 3-4 minutes in Munich. So the German NFL fans at least got a great ending, a dramatic ending to their game. At A-Law Radio, you can also vote for Monday MVP if you check it out on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And then I'd swear, get that up on our Facebook page as quickly as I possibly can. But I got to go record my sports minute. So you have to give me some grace there. As always, our polls are pinned to the top of our show page. And we take the votes all the way through this time tomorrow, in which we'll be able to reveal to you. Whew. I feel like these nights, as much as they're total chaos with all of the games and the audio, they go so fast because it's bang, 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 and we still have a bunch of games to get to, so maybe I'll have to talk faster. Just kidding. That does not make good radio. Here's our latest sports update. We get flattened by Kyler, and we pop back up.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off! Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field, has Rasul Douglas blocking, 5, touchdown Buffalo! The first offensive play for the Colts is a touchdown for the Bills!
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What if I tell you it actually got worse for the Colts after that? But yeah, Joe Flacco gets picked off and Taron Johnson goes 23 yards for the interception return and the TD. And that's really the tone setter in this game between the Bills and the Colts in Indianapolis. Chris Brown with the calls on Bills Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Very second drive for the Colts. Another Flacco pick. Buffalo gets a field goal. So the Bills are up 10-0. On points that come via the turnovers. Now, Flacco does settle in. He leads an extended drive early in the second quarter and finds Tyler Goodson for a 2-yard touchdown. And then Indy is able to tack on a field goal of its own after Josh Allen throws a pick, right? So Josh Allen also making a poor decision that he'd like back. Buffalo, though, what we've seen from them is even when they put themselves in a hole or even when they start slowly, and it does seem like at times they will start slowly, they're able to rattle off a bunch of points in a row. And they did it again on the road at the Colts with 20 straight points. Josh Allen, I don't know that we can steal Jim Harbaugh's label for Justin Herbert. He's calling him Beast Herbert. But yeah, I actually tweeted this earlier during Sunday afternoon that Josh Allen is still a beast.
Johnson flared out to the left in the backfield. Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Wow, great minds think alike. Jim Harbaugh, Chris Brown, Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours here on the show. We do love to drop the term beast, as in beast mode, though I suppose that still belongs to Marshawn Lynch. We'll have to borrow it.
Went beast mode.
So Josh Allen, through traffic, goes 13 yards. He just takes off, puts his head down. I don't think anybody, even less than they want to try to tackle Derrick Henry, wants to try to tackle a Josh Allen who is in beast mode. Tyler Bass, he tacks on a field goal as well from 47 yards. He's had quite a couple weeks. But Josh Allen also has a second interception. So once they come out of halftime, there are a pair of drives. So with a pick, then a pair of drives, which they settle for field goals. But I like what they're doing to try to establish the run game, especially with a game where you're trying to run time off the clock. You don't want to give your opponent extra possessions, essentially the ball control. And that's what the Bills were doing. Heavy on James Cook in the second half. And on that drive, so again, they had a couple of seven-minute drives, extended drives. One ends with a field goal. But with the ability to run the ball with James Cook and the offensive line coming together, yeah, what they want, what they need is to be able to control the game by running the ball. And for a long time, I mean, I've said this over and over about the Bills, when Josh Allen's your top runner, that's not a great recipe for success. I know he's damn good at it. I know he's a beast. But they need to have other playmakers that are in the backfield with him. So James Cook finishes up that drive and gets into the end zone. And as a team, they rush for 135 yards, which is huge. On the flip side for the Colts, I don't know why Joe Flacco is starting and not Anthony Richardson, because Richardson can also throw three interceptions and fumble a ball. Flacco with four turnovers in this one. The Bills are able to take advantage of the Colts' mistakes, and they settle in despite the fact that their quarterback has a couple of turnovers.
A couple throws he wants back, and those are important for him and for us. But, I mean, just all hands on deck. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, you know, you're out Keon, you're out Amari, you're out Dalton for the majority of the game, I would say, or somewhere thereabouts. And, you know, Joe, the staff, they didn't flinch. They just kept dialing it up, you know, trying to adjust. I thought the communication at halftime was great by the entire staff, defensively and special teams included. So, you know, just I tip my cap to those guys, the staff, and the game plan they put together and the players executed.
Again, guys stepping up, knowing their job, knowing their assignment, and going out there and executing. Can be cleaner. That's me. So again, just making sure we're communicating well, and just trying to hold on the football, and you know, we got to play better on offense.
I mean, he's been really good this season in terms of cutting down on the turnovers. This was a little more of a blow up. And again, by blow up, you compare that to Jared Goff, and it's really not that bad. Compared to Joe Flacco, and it's really not that bad. But they did put themselves in a hole and had to climb out. So they've won five in a row, as I say. They've got their best game through 10 weeks, best record through 10 weeks since their last Super Bowl appearance. No, I don't believe in jinxes. As for the Colts, they've dropped three in a row. And again, I don't really understand why Flacco is starting. It feels like if you've got an incomplete team and if you've got a team that's just trying to figure it out, then you might as well get this young quarterback out there for some reps so you can know what you have with him. He was raw when you drafted him. What was it, number four overall that they drafted him? He was raw when you drafted him. He didn't get a whole lot of time last year before he got hurt and had to be shut down for the rest of the year. Now he's on and off the field, on and off the field. You got to know whether or not he's your franchise guy. If you're going to stick with him, great, but you need to know that. Otherwise, you're going to have to turn to a different direction, turn into something different. And yeah, Shane Steichen just continues on with Flacco gives us the best chance to win.
Obviously, just a guy that's a veteran guy. Obviously, we've had two games that, you know, that he'd like to have back, but we'll keep battling through it and see where it goes.
Now, that was the explanation from Shane Steichen, and Joe Flacco kind of echoes it. You know, you got to figure out a way to get over tough losses. That's what it's like in this league, and he can speak to that because he's nearly 40 years old. But that doesn't fly with Kenny Moore, the cornerback for the Colts, with really strong words. Although he didn't name any names, he didn't hold back. he didn't let any type of unwritten locker room rule prevent him from expressing his frustrations.
I don't think everybody is working as hard as possible, and obviously it's showing. I'm not the type to sugarcoat it, honestly. If I don't think the urgency is there. I don't think the details are there, so I don't think the effort is there. And I don't see everything correlating from meetings to practice to the games, and it shows.
Wow, that hurts. He goes on to say, the thing that's frustrating is you're letting things leak into another week, right? So he says, if it's about turning the page, well, we're not doing that. We're letting it leak into the next week. And he, you know, points to the games they've lost. Texans, Vikings, now the Bills. They had won 4 of 5 earlier in the season, but now they're below 500, and it's a mess. And to have someone in your own locker room say that the effort isn't there, the urgency isn't there, the details aren't there. We're practicing during the week, but we're not carrying it over to Sunday. And those are harsh words. Again, he doesn't name names, but that's coming from inside your own locker room and a guy who's on the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can certainly vote for Monday MVP, even though it's a holiday for many. Thank you to our veterans. At Amy After Hours, the post is now up on our Facebook page. I believe that I posted it. Oh, no, I didn't actually hit post. Now it's posted on our Facebook page. Let's talk about another team in the AFC East. We've got one left. That's the New England Patriots. And yeah, it was a rough day for the offenses. Pats and Bears playing in Chicago. I mean, you're not going to go ahead and hold this game up as kind of the standard, the gold standard. In fact, there was just one single touchdown.
Henry and Hooper to the left. I'll give you the rest of his file momentarily. Booty to the right. Stevenson, the single backfield. Hunter motions right. May with the play fake in the pocket.
Oh,
wide
nice.
Open receiver. Left poke. And it's an
beautiful,
easy flip and catch for a touchdown. Patriots.
Bob Soucy on Patriots Radio. Now, it's worth noting, I think, too, when we talk about rookie quarterbacks, and Drake May had a really bad interception in this one, but he was 5 for 5 on the drive in which he's able to find Polk for that 2-yard touchdown. New England doesn't take advantage of all its opportunities. They're 1 for 5 in the red zone. But did you see what the defense did to Caleb Williams? The number one overall pick. I mean, not only was it a rough day, that's kind of understating it, he was under siege.
Second down and 17 for the Bears. The clock counting down, under 90 seconds to go. Williams takes the snap, drops back, stands in, pressured. A sack for Keon White. He takes him down, lunging at the quarterback.
I think we have offensive line issues. Man, these guys don't care.
It starts up front. It starts up front. And I think, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to go out there and reestablish the line of scrimmage, and we were able to do that on all 3 downs. Defensively, I would say we were able to get pressure. We were able to get pressure on the quarterback.
Think?
We had 9 sacks in the game, which is always good. And I would say the back end did a good job as far as coverage is concerned.
I love that. I think we did a good job of pressure. We had 9 sacks and, might I add, another 13 hits on Caleb Williams. Oh my gosh, we compare that to the number of actual snaps that they took offensively, and I bet that he was getting hit on, what, a third of their snaps, if not more than that. I'll go and I'll look to be sure. So yeah, New England didn't have the offense necessarily. A couple of turnovers in there, I think, but able to make the Bears look far worse. Only 3 points, 1 of 14 on third down. They hold Chicago to under 150. And so Matt Eberflus is getting asked a lot of questions about his coaching. And I've even had a Bears fan ask me tonight, why is Matt Eberflus still the coach? And it's hard to know how you respond. You know, how do you defend your coaching decisions?
We have the men in the room, and we have evidence on tape of doing it. You know, we've played some good complementary games in terms of offense, defense, and kicking, and we've, you know, scored points, a few games in a row, done a good job of that. You know, so we have to find the winning way and our winning formula to get that done.
I'd say it first starts with me. I took, had about two or three plays and key moments of situational ball that it didn't click in my head. Two was taking two or three sacks in situations where we were able to get a field goal attempt.
Yeah, so if you look at their total plays, Ryan, I just looked it up. 59 offensive plays. He got sacked or hit on 22 of them. I mean, that's more than a third. And then forget about the pressures, right? Just guys in your face are forcing you to get rid of the ball early, or you're not able to allow the play to unfold and develop. So the Patriots defense overwhelms Caleb Williams. They get enough offense, and they get their third victory of the season. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.